The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 10th of June, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green, because what are we waiting for? My girl says she's a boatman. She's a seaman. Her life is on the water, free diving and throwing out lining. It's how she's miming. You don't mind that part, right? This Friday weekend, that's why the parents go to work. That's why the young men and the young ladies who just come out of school, that's why they want to drive. That's why they want to strive. That's why they want to hustle. They want some beautiful little children like that too. When they come home from a hard day of work, the little child say to them, they work in construction, the child say, the roads them, dig up, daddy. Because that's what parents do it for. Mm-hmm. That little girl, she summed it up, all of it, everything. I want to say morning to our friend Ashley Sean from Grand Bahama, who created the Bahamian Citizenship Test, the online game, mm-hmm. right? I like to think of it as a compliment to How Bahamian Are You, my own radio game show. But this is it right here. If you want to know who's a Bahamian, that little girl is a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what the test is, you got one song you know from your heart, because it signifies what it means to be a Bahamian to you. In the conversations we had about the national sport, why is it sailing, right? Well, that little video, that little performance, that little expression of love will show you why sailing is the national sport. Because how many of us are boatmen and seamen and our work is on the water? That's a part of the fabric of our life. And that's what Labor Day is about. Mm-hmm. That's what the people marching for. The right to, not just work, you know, the right to make things happen in my own country for me mm-hmm. and my family and my community and my countrymen. Anyway, I've been waiting all weekend to play that video. If you all know who this little girl is, now, you know how we are, parents, children, you don't have to call the little girl's name. Of course, we want to celebrate her, not jeopardize her. So if you know the parents of this little girl, man, tell them to call Guardian Radio, give me a shout out so I could reach out to them and we could give this moment the spotlight that it deserves. Mm-hmm. KB, I know, see, KB knew when he was writing the song. KB knew when he was writing the song that this was going to happen. That's why he's writing the songs. Mm-hmm. That's why he was a doctor off, right?
Get involved.
And Junkanoo, ooh, Junkanoo. Get involved. I was singing that like that little girl was singing that. Mm-hmm. KB knew what he was doing. Phil Stubbs knew what he was doing. And guess what? These Junkanooers, although I get frustrated in the space plenty, they doing it for a reason. They say, well, what you doing it for? What you junkanooing for? for legacy, for family, for community, for country, for culture. That's what they're doing it for. And I just want to make sure that when the people get up in the morning and they say to themselves, I'm going out there to do it, that they could do it. The old people say they could do it in decency. They could do it the right way. Mm-hmm. They could do it without frustration. And that when they decide that they're going to pick up the little resources that they have for themselves and their family and give it to something greater than them, that it will be seen, it will be appreciated, it will be valued, it will be nurtured, and it will be used for the positive and for the benefit of everyone. That's what people, that's what they get up in the morning thinking. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had a good Labor Day. I hope you all had a good Labor Day. I want to start the show with a continuation of the conversation we started on Thursday with Mr. Mike Foster, a representative of the Valley Boys. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, I won't say the way forward, but where we've come from most recently. I have the 30th of May, 2025 article, Fight Over Valley Boys Name Continues. So we just sort of maybe get some clarity there. But mm-hmm. more importantly, I want to know what happened on Labor Day. Good morning, Mr. Foster. Introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Mike Foster. Yes. I was the first chairman of the Valley Boys back in 2003, 4, 5, 6, thereabout. This fight that we have endured over the last 2 years is probably a continuation mm-hmm. of that from that time. I've been blamed for walking away from it around 2007-08. And just becoming and melting back into the group and just enjoying myself. However, I was drafted, so to speak, back into this momentum to restructure and right the ship, so to speak. And reluctantly in the beginning, but I got involved full heart, understanding that what myself and Jeff Munker and many others back in the day were trying to accomplish ought to be given a second chance to go at it.
Okay.
I've said to people that under the Gus Cooper time, it's over, because being too critical would make you the enemy,
mm-hmm.
especially in the years where the Valley Boys can say from the year 2000 up to 2014 were they were the most successful years. So it would have been difficult to make changes to something some people thought weren't broke.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this premonition that after Gus died, we were going to have some challenges. Because a lot of people didn't see the persons who were now managing the group being anywhere near the level of Gus Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to bring things in perspective, the Valley Boys can't imagine in 2010 that a time would come where a season would come along and we didn't win one parade,
mm-hmm.
particularly that we didn't win Boxing Day. You know, it's almost like Boxing Day belonged to us and then the rest of you could fight over New Year's, but we're coming to take that too. We've lost 9 straight Boxing Day parades. We'd lost a total of 7 straight parades. And so this movement has come out of that with the strength of what has happened. However, I want the truth to be told about Trevor Davis. Trevor went around the side of the shack because he had to relieve himself or he pee up himself. There was no bathrooms in the shack. As much as all of Brian and I talk about 1958, we have never, in my recollection, had a bathroom, had anywhere to relieve ourselves.
Now, just stick a pin for a second. I've spoken to a number of Valley Boys members, right,
uh-huh.
who have said that, like, their shack had bathroom access, that there were, like, satellite spaces where the people in charge of those spaces attended to. Is that true or not true?
Well, if you had a shack in your personal yard, yeah.
Okay, all right. If you were in control of a shack, then you may have...
You know, yeah, you know, if you had a shack in your yard, yeah, you go. You had access. But the main shacks, And I've been around for 45 years.
Okay.
So anybody can tell me anything different. And I've seen all the shocks. Unfortunately, and I know Trevor probably a little embarrassed to say he had to go relieve himself, because he had to pee up himself. He told me, like, I had to pee up myself. And he said, when he went around there, he was doing the same. And he was so embarrassed. 2 days later, he caused the Johnny on the Spots to be by the shack, particularly the one on Claret Road. That's what he did right away.
That's the porta-potties for
people. Yeah, the porta-potties.
Because some of us aren't junk news.
Yeah, and then he went to the point they started calling people like myself and said, listen, we need to sit down and talk. And we formed a committee called The Way Forward. So let's put it on record. The Way Forward was never a junk in a group. The Way Forward was a committee identifying things in the group to make it better, built on the fact that we have lost so many parades and we were losing that edge. Or well, some key people say we lost the edge. Mm-hmm. So something had to happen. And we tried to cause discussions with the existing executive, and they weren't hearing us. They weren't hearing us. All the shenanigans we did and tried and threats we made, calling for an election and all this other wonderful stuff, they just ignored us. And I'm not talking about, when I say they, I'm talking about a large group of people. I'm talking about 3 and 4 people. No accountability, no transparency, no election. Fortunately for us, we had a very smart attorney who said to us, we were actually looking to file for a judicial review on other matters during this time that the Valley Boys weren't registered at all, anywhere. The big question really came about, well, how are we collecting the government money? What was going on there?
Now, when you say not registered at all, anywhere.
Anywhere.
The argument that I've been faced with, right? Like people see me on the road or they call into the show and they say, that's not true. The Valley Boys was registered as a business, right? It was a business. It had a TIN number. And so that it was an official entity in some sense recognized by the government.
It depends on what Valley Boys you're talking about.
Okay. Explain for me.
Okay. So our attorney then recommended to us go register the group. And they indicated that the articles of registration, business license, so forth, required you to do certain things, which includes the ability to call an election, to cause an election,
okay,
form a constitution, do all of these things as required by law, because the world famous guys didn't have a constitution either.
Okay.
And in fact, they were following behind us after they found out what we were doing. But at all times, we tried to engage them in getting these things done, and they refused, just like the previous statements I made.
So what was the court's official ruling on the status of the group? Who registered it? And when was it first formally registered or it was recognized by the state?
We were registered in September of 2023.
Okay.
We advised the existing executive that we're now registered and we have the ability to cause an election. We'd like you to participate and just bring this thing to order. They did not. In fact, in February of 2024, they went and they registered this new entity called World Famous Valley Boys. You see? So at all times, as they spoke to the press, after that time, they were saying, oh, we registered and we these. Yeah, but you're not the official registration. You're calling yourself something different, world famous, right? Mm-hmm. Valley Boys. It was an effort to usurp what we had done and put the power in their hands. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they thought we were going to sit down and allow them to retake and do the same things they were doing before. And we decided we were not going to do that. We then petitioned the registrar on the note of the law that said, that allowed for the name to be given to or held by the person who registered first. And there's a part of the registration that said, well, you cannot have this, two companies can't have the same name in whole or in part. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we use the in part of it, where the Valley Boys is a part of World Famous. What is interesting about that even further is that if one Kishlane Smith were to challenge the world-famous pod, she could have claimed that as her own.
Okay.
Right? She didn't do so. But nevertheless, the registrar then followed suit, realizing what the law said. And as a result, at the end of the day, she asked them to remove Valley Boys from their name. She gave them until the, I think it was October the 18th, no, the 19th, mm-hmm. to do so, and they didn't. In fact, on the 18th, they took on an injunction to stop the registrar from doing her statutory duty.
Well, to, I mean,
you know,
an injunction to make an assessment or a review of whether the magistrate could do the thing that she believed is a part of her statutory duty.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so the result of that was it. The review took place by a judge,
mm-hmm.
Ellis, and he looked at it and he came to the conclusion that the registrar had the right to do what she did, based
mm-hmm.
on law.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the injunction was lifted from that particular point, and the registrar then gave, I think she gave them some additional time to go and change the name, and they refused to.
Okay.
And as a result, it was removed from the register altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a couple of texts here. I can read them out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one was, Valley lost the edge or did the other groups get better? Right? That's a conversation for another time. How did a subcommittee of the group move to have a lawyer? There's no issue with a subcommittee. In fact, any committee, subcommittee, you get legal advice before you move forward. Now, sometimes that legal advice is attained through the internal organization's network, right, their legal network, but sometimes that body may seek a lawyer that's not a part of the organization mm-hmm. for guidance. The first thing to do is get advice and guidance before you move. Don't, like, if you're an organization, organized culture, you can't run an organization with, I'd rather ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. No, you can't run an organization mm-hmm. like that. Another text is the, okay, no, I'm not reading that one out loud. Tech says, so how is the group getting seed funding for the past 10 years from the government, if not registered with the government? Let me respond to this. If the group is registered with the JCNP and the JCNP is an arm of or in partnership with the government, it's not unreasonable for this to happen in this environment where the government say, well, if they are properly registered with the JCNP, we can go with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not out of the ordinary in this environment, right? But I'll ask the same question to you, Tex. So let's take the Valley Boys out of it. How do prodigal sons get seed money every year? How they get seed money every year? I don't think this is an ordinary environment we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you, Texters. And when you start calling judges' names and things like that, texts, I have to go and I have to refer to my legal team mm-hmm. before I read some of these texts out loud. So let us send texts in that can be read out loud. And if they're only for my edification, then make a note. I just get excited and say things that you know I shouldn't say on air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've gotten to this point now where the courts have acknowledged that the Valley Boys has been registered
mm-hmm.
as the Valley Boys
mm-hmm.
by a subcommittee within the Valley Boys. So mm-hmm. it's not two different groups. It's not a group. It is members of the Valley Boys
mm-hmm.
made a move to have the organization properly registered and constituted.
That's correct. Let's look at it a little more clearly. Organizations have problems all the time.
Mm-hmm.
A member or members of an organization can cause the executive to force them to declare. In this case, we use the word transparency, accountability. We wanted to know where was our money going. Take for instance, me. I have contributed funding to my junk in the group. I would like to know how you spend my money. when I gave X amount of dollars to a participant, I want to know that whatever it was given for, how it is used, I want to know, all right? So imagine me with a small donor compared to, say, a Obama or something. They need to know that monies were being expended properly for the purpose of Junkanoo, all right? So that's the momentum we went on. We need some transparency. We need to know what you're doing. We need to know how you're taking, where you're getting money. Close your requirement as well, and you ain't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the question comes about, how are you getting government money, seed funding? Now, I'll tell you the beauty of our action, what it's caused. In the beginning, you would have heard, oh, you don't need to be nonprofit to do this and to do that. Oh, they were very wrong. They were very wrong. When you go to either the registrar's department or you go to the business license section to form a company, the first one of the first questions on that document is, are you profit or nonprofit?
Right. But just a brief question.
Yeah.
This is a relatively recently new shift in the law with the introduction of the NPO Act, or did that same requirement exist before the introduction of the NPO Act?
It existed before.
Okay.
But it was you could cause the act read in 2017 or 2019, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it a refresh because so many people were so many companies were doing foolishness. You know, it came along with the inland revenue process.
Right, right.
Okay? So now the act says that you must. To me, it always existed.
They always ask, but now there's a...
It's a reinforcement of it,
okay.
You know, that you have to do these things. And it brought attention to particularly, I think this thing, as I speak to one of my reverends, it started with the church, where somebody made a statement that you can't audit God's money, you know? And they said, well, what about the junk in the groups? You know, they brought us into the equation. Well, what about them? You always give them money. You always ask them. And all of this audit thing now is in place that even junk in the groups have to say, listen, I gave you $25,000 or $30,000 or $50,000. You need to tell me what you do with your money annually to get an expert of seed money.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the responsibility of administration with regard to how the government money is being used or how they got it actually rests with the NJC, the National Junkanoo Committee, where they had been relying on the JCMP to inform them that a certain party in Junkanoo was properly registered. And they were not. Like I said, the beauty of this thing is afterwards that all of the Junkanoo groups now are formally registered nonprofit.
All right. Before we get to the Labor Day parade, I got a question for you. Why y'all just didn't do what the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress members did? Why you just didn't say, man, y'all keep y'all dead, can't win another Junkanoo Valley Boys, and let it die the death that y'all wanted to die, and just form your own new Junkanoo group?
Well, first of all, the tradition is so that group persons within a group get disgruntled with the leadership and go form their own group.
Mm-hmm.
One can question their objectives,
mm-hmm.
right? I have a book coming out where in that book I am saying sorry in so many words to Paul Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 1977, 78, 79, 83, the Valley Boys broke up four times. Before he died, I had a long conversation because I was planning to write this book, and I wanted to talk to him. And you know what his whole anger was about?
Mm-hmm.
Transparency, accountability, elections.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it came down to. And even to the point where he was a major fundraiser in the group, him and Perry Christie, till to the point that he said, I'm not putting this money into the central account because y'all not telling me what I doing with the money I beg people for.
I just need to take a moment to say, y'all see the parallels? Do you see the parallels in the union space? Do you see the parallels in governance and in the political space? I just saying, do you see the parallels? And I can stick a pin there because we ain't come to talk that come to talk that politics today.
But he was vilified.
Yeah.
And you know, in the Valley Boys we have these groupings nicknamed the Purists. They could not see beyond what he was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were winning. you see. So he would have decided to form three different groups at three different times. And those groups went into the satellite, into space, because the Valley Voice was such a force in this country. How dare you even talk about ruffling the feathers when we're winning and we're winning. Now, he formed Roots, 1991. And Roots survived. They survived the 25, 30 years of not winning. But they're there. They're there.
A show of force.
Yeah, that's why I say today, when I look at what Paul is fighting for within the Valley, and some of which I was opposed to, because I joined the group in 1979. And I was there at the time when I said, why Paul doing this? But as I got older and I understood what he was fighting for, I'm able to say that Paul had the right mind.
You know?
Yeah. Some people say he wanted to be the leader. Okay, fine. That's fine.
But see, there's the thing. So what if someone wants to be the leader?
There you go.
If you
have elections that allows for, and this is what the recent 10 years of the Valley Boys did, 14, 15 years of the Valley Boys didn't have. We had no elections. People were appointed on favor. And sometimes some of the people they appointed weren't the best people to appoint to those locations, those duties.
Okay.
And as a result, is losing. Call it speed.
Okay.
You know? So basically, as we moved forward, and we accomplished what we accomplished, we started having issues with the JCMP. You know? There are some various opinions about why the JCMP acted the way they did. Some people call them a big boys club. You know? Some people said that the other junk of the groups would love to see a weakened Valley Boys, because basically at the end of the day, the most hated group by them ain't in the equation no more, right? Some people have that kind of mindset. There are a number of things that came out of there. But one of the things that we, and I called the JCMP last week in an interview, an enigma. At first they said that they recognized Brian Adley. Brian Adley is not the Valley Boys. He was the then chairman of the Valley Boys, but he's not the Valley Boys. The Valley Boys is a group made of active members, over 1,000 people. Secondly, the Valley Boys has always been, from its inception, a member of the JCMP. Okay? So if the Valley Boys now having a matter with in-house, where we're having some issues relative to leadership and so forth that we took on, it was not the JCMP's position to take one side, which we think they did, by saying we recognize Brian Adley. All right? Now that the court has resolved who the Valley Boys are, the enigma is, why are you producing flyers and things of events and you got two Valley Boy groups?
On the flyer, by the JCMP.
Yeah, when the law has already spoken.
Not just disseminated by the JCMP, but produced by the JCMP. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so as you would have seen Labor Day gone by, there was a flyer that said Valley Boys and World Famous Valley Boys. The court has already declared there's no such thing as World Famous Valley Boys. There's no such registration. There's no TIN number. There's no business license that says World Famous Valley Boys.
And they cannot exist because of the law. Even though an entity exists, what's required is for them to either rename themselves or to cease to exist.
Well, let's look at a scenario where they rename.
Mr. Foster, we got a couple calls. I want to go to the callers. Callers, I see you.
Go ahead.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. He said that it was resolved in the court. I thought this is an ongoing court matter. Isn't this an ongoing court matter?
One second. Is there a specific element of this process or conflict that has been ruled on by the courts? Or in this, the instance that we're talking about with who can use the name, has an appeal been launched?
It was ever one thing where they was battling in court.
You tell me what you believe the one thing is, sir.
The NPO was what they were battling in court.
Okay, so a ruling has been made. I can read fight over, okay, a ruling has been made. Are you telling me that there's an appeal existing?
I'm telling you it's still an ongoing court case, which Mr. Foster...
Okay, will you tell me, I'm asking you now, caller, to tell me what's next. If it's ongoing, what's next? What happened, and then what's next?
You're waiting on the court case.
I need... Pause, caller.
We're going on with court finished.
Caller.
With court finished.
Caller.
What's going on? Caller.
I'm
moving forward.
Man... Caller, I'm sitting here asking you a specific question. I'm entertaining you. I want to create balance, especially if callers feel there's no balance. When you say it's one court thing and it ain't finished yet, I ask you, from your perspective where you sit, because you disagree with Mr. Foster, where did it leave off? What was the last court action or statement, and what's next? Is there a matter to be appealed? Has the court said, we accept, we're going to hear the appeal on this matter? That's all I ask you, caller. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. Good morning. You still there? Something happened to your phone line. Caller, 323-622-325-4316-325-4259-242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. I know we're talking Nassau Junkanoo, but it impacts the entire archipelago. It impacts Junkanoo broadly, widely. And then some of y'all may still be stuck in Long Island. I don't know what all y'all is doing in Long Island this weekend, but it looked like y'all had a good time. Mr. Ford. Okay.
Can I just say something about the last caller?
Yeah. And I got a text here. Yeah. Is it still before the courts? Is it an ongoing court case?
Let's understand the law. The lower court ruled in our favor.
Okay.
The entity that lost has the right to appeal the matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the appellant matter doesn't set aside the instructions of the lower court. Full stop. The appellant court can overrule judgment by the judge in the lower court.
Mm-hmm.
But until such time, if that happens, the ruling of the lower court stands.
Or there may be a specific instruction given by the judge to pause all activity until the appeal is completed.
I wanted to also to try to avoid the legal stuff. Particularly, I'm not going to talk any further with regard to the appeal. There's a portion going.
So there is a. So yeah, they have appealed.
They have appealed. Yes.
Okay.
Right. But let's look at the perspective of the lower court. The matter of the injunction in the beginning was an injunction to stop the registrar from doing her statutory duty, and the lower court judge was able to look at it and say, I didn't see where the registrar did anything wrong. That's what it's about. And he lifted the injunction, and then she did her job. That's what the court case is about. It has nothing to do. I've heard this thing about NPO and NPO. NPO is a tag to your company, whether you are running a business to make money or not. All Junkanoo groups who favor receiving funding from the government and private organizations are registered under the Business License Act as non-profit. Now, a Junkanoo group can be profit, but you're not going to get any funding from government because the law says you cannot.
Okay. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Ms. Green, this is Sparky. Can I call back?
Speak, Sparky. Good morning. All right. There's something wrong with that phone line. That's the second time the call is dropped from there. Again, numbers to call. If 325-4316 is not working for you, you can also call 323-622-325-4259. And again, the toll-free number for Family Island listeners, 242-300-570. Okay, so a ruling has been made, an appeal. They have appealed, but even in the appeal, you can appeal, but the court has to say, yeah, okay, we're going to entertain the argument, mm-hmm. right? Okay, let's Stick a pin there. Producer, I want you to play My Friend again. Let's prepare to go to a break. Texters, I'm going to take this time in the break to read through the texts to make sure I could read them on air. Y'all know some of the texts y'all sent this morning. And as we go into the break, I want to remind y'all that the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you on a 7-day cruise for 4 people to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have 4 ways to enter and 4 ways to win. First, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Second, listen to Star 106.5 FM and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. 3, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. 4, make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Deadline is June 27th, 2025, drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun, and feel that ocean breeze. You and 3 loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply, airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. As we go to the break, I just want to make this note again. I have extended over the airwaves an invitation for Brian Adley or his representatives or representatives of the side, the committee that they represent, to come on air and share their position as well. I can't even say that they've declined because I've had no response whatsoever at all, as if they are not interested. So texters, when you call in or you text in with a question or to make a statement, and I'm asking you questions, right? I'm not beating you up. I'm not attacking you. I'm not picking sides. I would like to get the perspective from the other side. Mm-hmm. That's all. I said, just before we go to the break, I see the producer put a call through. We're going to take this caller. And good morning, caller.
I was telling you, Ms. Green, that it is an ongoing matter in the Supreme Court, in the Court of Appeals.
Right, but I was asking you for something more specific than that. I was asking you, what exactly are they appealing upon, right? Have you read the court documents?
No, I haven't read the court
documents. Okay, cool. Not a problem. Not a problem. It is no intent to demean or anything like that, right? I just wanted to know if you were aware of where it stopped, because I have not read the court documents myself, caller. You are actually closer to the matter than I am, which is why I was asking you the question. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Since you're on the air. Are you a part of any committees within the organization?
No, ma'am.
All right. Do you feel comfortable with your access to information about the processes that are taking place?
If we ask a question or whatever, it's being answered. So,
yeah, okay.
I am comfortable.
Okay. No problem. No problem. I ain't going to ask you to call your name out loud. It ain't about that. How long have you been a member of the Valley Boys?
Over 15 years.
All right, because you sound young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You sound young, but that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Okay. What section?
That's who the world famous Valley Boys is, and that's the young generation.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the younger generation.
All right, and you feel that the faction, and I don't even want to use the word faction. Let me rephrase that. That Brian Adley's team, you feel like they're doing succession planning? You feel like they're building an infrastructure that younger generations of Valley Boys members would be able to easily step into those roles and continue?
Not only feel like that, but I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. So it ain't like I have to feel like it. See what's going on.
Okay. What section you working with? You work with bellas, drummers, you building costumes.
As a drummer, and I help out with bellas.
Okay. You ever rush with any other Junkanoo group?
Yeah.
Which one? Tell me which one.
I have a free board.
Okay.
I rush with Saxons when they first come over here.
Okay, cool. You rush with Saxons when you first come to Nassau. All right, cool. You feel, so coming from Freeport, right? As a, I can call you an outsider to Nassau Junkanoo. When you first step in, you didn't get any heavy chafing from leaving the Saxons to go to the Valley?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
My face was good.
All right, but you're drumming good?
Yeah, that come along with my face.
Okay. I'd like to thank you. I got other questions to ask, you know, like, how you feel about all this clout? See, you think I, if in here friends with Mr. Foster, I getting ready to rout the Valley Boy, right, Valley Boys right now. How come you all have so much clout all the time? And since you all producing this clout for Junkanoo, why y'all don't actually produce a clothing line with the clout? And then represent the images and the designs on the cloth in fringe and crepe paper at the Junkanoo Parade.
You got to make it.
Oh, y'all don't let the ideas out. Okay.
Yeah, you got to make sure you got your name.
Listen.
I hear your name first.
Okay, thank you. Watch this. I think that the conversations are equally as important as the organizing and the rushing. And I think that we need to create a space where we could have these sorts of conversations, right, about the conflicts, about the issues, without it always turning into a war. We have to be able to be critical about the things we love, because if we want to sustain them, we have to interrogate every single part of them. So thank you for calling back, and thank you for answering my questions, because it can't be a war. All the people I know, like I grow up with Ricardo Trico. Mm-hmm. And I say that to my neighbor, right? I know these people. These ain't warring. We ain't no warring people. But we have to be able to get through these difficult times without going to war at and with each other.
I would have asked the caller if, one, he believes in elections. That's the first thing, right?
Yeah.
I would have asked the caller if he believed in transparency. Does he know or should he know what's going on in the group on a daily basis by mm-hmm. report? I would ask the caller if he believed in the transparency, elections, and accountability. Should he know how much money we collected, how we spent the money, where it went, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. I would have asked those questions of him.
I tell you what, I wanted to ask him some questions too, are you happy with where it is right now and where you want to see it go? But I also felt like I was exposing him, mm-hmm. right? Like I felt like I was a journalist with the trick questions, mm-hmm. and I was exposing him, and so I wanted to...
I'm thankful you didn't do that,
yeah.
because and I'm glad I held myself whilst that conversation was going on, because it just revealed everything that we've been talking about.
An indictment on him.
He's talking about, he sees this new generation of thing. Well, guess what? The elections held by the Valley Boys, 90% of the persons he elected were the same young people he talked about, some of which were on that side and came over to this side, you know? Mm-hmm. And so persons like myself, most of the 40-something year service, don't have a position. However, on the same light, how can he see that you have five or six people who refuse to move off the scene and wouldn't even create an election that would allow them to stay on the scene if the group wanted them? That's the question I would have had to him
right.
at the time. But he's gone, yeah. so it's not right.
Let's go to this caller, and then we got to get to Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get to the parade. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Morning, Michael Foster.
Hey, how you doing? You're calling my Marvin. Name so clean like that. You don't want to tell me who this is.
Yeah, this is Marvin Johnson. You know me, you always
Robin. Trust me.
That don't separate the fun that we are Staunch Valley Boys.
Yes.
Aaron Green, see, Foster got to walk on eggshells right now. You and Foster. I outside the studio. I ain't going to call nobody there. I ain't going to incriminate nobody. But it's some things that needs to be said. Okay? We break Foster, get it correct. We the first time he was appointed chairman, he tried to do some things. And I was always for Foster's chairmanship, but he was ostracized and was pushed out. Okay, so like he said, for 20 years or so, the dictatorship took over that group. Now, the problem, what happened was, we didn't have the bathroom, we didn't have the materials. People were trading costumes and selling costumes to other groups for gallons of contact, and we wanted to know why it is happening. You understand? We wanted to know why it's happening. It is alleged that administration was misappropriating thousands hundreds of thousands of dollars and can't give no account for it. And a small little handful of people, because those young people over there are being misled. They're being misled. But the handful of persons that Michael Foster spoke about that know what's happened was catching crumbs from the master's table. And that was we couldn't allow that to be so.
Okay.
We could not allow it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We are quickly running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Stinking Goatskin, staunch Valley Boy member, thank you for calling in. I had a texter here who called the judge's name, and then when I said, you know, mm-hmm. let's be easy with the text, and then they said, well, Mr. Foster called his own name, and I'm like, caller, that's not how it works. He's the guest. He have to call his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guest on the show, right? Like, send me texts I could read out loud, and I will read them out loud. The text here says, fellas asking if the Valley Boys, what many people are asking about the government. So I've had a series of texts here that want to delve into this question of whether there's government interference involved with Trevor Davis being the brother of the Prime Minister. I don't want to get into that, Mr. Foster.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the purpose of this conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into it. The only thing I can say is it matters to y'all now. It never mattered before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. We stick a pin right there. What happened on Labor Day?
We were invited to lead the parade.
To be the first out?
Yes.
Who invited you?
It was a JCMP kind of organizing.
I think
they picked some numbers.
Okay,
After picking the numbers, you know. Right? I thought that we were extremely impressive. Our group has grown by leaps and bounds over last year. And we thought we were big last year
mm-hmm.
when we so-called exhibited, which was a very interesting thing that happened despite all of the shenanigans going on. We came on Bay Street Boxing Day New Year's full force.
Mm-hmm.
Grown ridiculously in numbers. We're having challenges keeping up with the number of people coming in into the brass sections and the drum sections. So we keep going to find money to buy more instruments and drums to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been relatively successful in doing that. Now, we have it. I could say that from apparent conversations that I have on my phone, that it was said that the world famous guys who came downtown with a banner with Valley Boys on it, they were not allowed to come on the parade with that banner.
Okay.
The group rushed, but the banner was not allowed to enter the parade. We're told maybe the police had something to do with it. We don't have that as a fact. But we know the banner was, they did have a banner that was there and later seen thrown on the side of the road by Fort Charlotte. That had world famous Valley Boys on it. So there shows the defiance that the world famous guys have, even against the law. So if, in fact, the police did do that, they would have basically followed what the court said.
Now, as we end the show, right, I have a question. Is Junkanoo occupying too much space on the Labor Day parade? In fact, the question is broader than that. Is Junkanoo occupying too much space in the national
cultural
space, right? Because here's my thing. This conversation is important, you know, because whatever happens to the Valley Boys can happen to the rest of the country. Whatever's happening in the Valley Boys, we could see happening in other spaces in the country, in the union space, in the political space, in all of these organizational spaces, we see the same cultures or elements of culture unfolding. So the conversation is important because what the phrase is, where goes the Valley Boys, so go we,
mm-hmm.
so go I, right?
I'm glad you brought that particular aspect.
We got a minute and 30 seconds left.
Very quickly, our actions over the last 2 years has caused a reformation within the Junkanoo community. Like I said before, it appeared that all of the Junkanoo groups before were not properly registered. They are now.
Mm-hmm.
They are now, okay? And it's sent a message to other organizations, whether they be cultural or whatever the case may be, that You have to be accountable to the organization and the people that you represent,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to be transparent, because if you don't be transparent, people are going to come up with ideas about what you're doing. They can call you thief. They can call you this. You have to be transferred. You have to be fair that you are not the ultimate leader forever and ever and ever, and have elections. And that is what has happened.
Absolutely. Let's go to this caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't want to say you say don't dominate.
I can't hear you. Repeat that for me.
Okay. You're saying that it's Junkin who dominates any culture, correct?
Well, yeah. Is Junkin who occupying too much space in Labor Day parade?
Yeah, but you said culture, yeah. And I gone on that.
Okay.
Junkin who is Bahamian culture, so that never dominates any parade.
Okay.
It's Bahamian culture.
Okay.
But ain't carnival, ain't nothing else. Junkin who is the culture, so that never dominates. Every parade, every anything, it has to have something.
Listen. Yes, ma'am. Since
okay, y'all have a good day.
Oh, no, don't go, since you fiery and I like sunburn. Hang up already. I'm going to ask her. Anyway, I'm going to ask that question tomorrow. Thank you, ma'am. I don't have a problem with that. Call, I'm so sorry. I am out of time. Mr. Foster, thank you for joining me. Mm-hmm. The conversation continues,
yeah.
Right? Because Junkanoo will continue, right? And it's important for us to support y'all, because like she say, Junkanoo is our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the show I had planned, while I was hoping Mr. Foster didn't make it to the station today, was I wanted to read through General Orders, Chapter 9, Political Activities of Civil Servants. It extends to this conversation, right? Because if I was Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I may have to have similar rules for participation in Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could be a Prime Minister and rush in Junkanoo. I just ain't sure. I just say it. I think we need to talk about it. That may be the most controversial thing I ever said on this radio show,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's worthy of interrogation. Anyway, when y'all hear me again, maybe I'll have the opportunity to read from these General Orders, Political Activities of Civil Servants. But one thing I don't know, you may get the Bahamian to not wear their political party t-shirt, but I don't know if you can get them to not represent their Junkanoo group, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The record shows that, with exception of Hubert Ingraham, three prime ministers have been involved in a Junkanoo group.
Intimately, yes.
Perry Christie and particularly Dr. Minnis.
Yeah.
Eh? And Finlin.
Right.
Well, no, Finlin wasn't in a mainstream group, but he was in...
Hold on, the Pigs was in the mainstream group? Listen, this show has been brought to you by Spirit, the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo, white people in the whole world, except for the Pigs and the Methuselahs.
Yes.
You all have a wonderful day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.